with me. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Who in your family is the repeater of stories? This, of course, used to annoy me when I was a teenager. Well, because I was a teenager, and that was the kind of teenager I was. But now I fear I am the one, or at least am becoming the one, who is more prone to repetition as anyone else. You know the stories, the ones that you can probably recite word for word along with the teller, but you never stop them because it is so delightful to hear them so pleased with themselves as they share some nugget from the past. Or maybe the content of the stories doesn't repeat all that often, but the style of the telling or the life lessons retroactively placed in the story are the things that come up again and again. If you saw these stories on a page written down, even if you took out all of the identifying information, you could probably still tell that this was your family story, one of your family stories. The signs would all be there. Even when there is a new story, those signs remain. It's like opening up that first chapter of the new novel from your favorite author. What you're hearing, what you're reading is all new, but delivered in that same style, that same prose, that same sense of timing and vocabulary. It's new and yet familiar. We have a bit of that situation with our New Testament reading this morning. I'm sure I'm not the only one who began thinking of the prologue of John's gospel upon hearing these words from the first letter of John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Talk of the beginning, talk of life, talk of the Word, talk of the relationship between the Son and the Father, the fingerprints of John the Apostle, they are all over this text. It's almost as if his letters begin like a second volume of his gospel. The first volume beginning with that beautiful cosmic language, in the beginning was the Word. Check out John chapter 1 when you have a moment this week. And think about it in concert with this first chapter of 1 John, John's letter. It's almost as if this letter is the sequel to the gospel. And this is exciting for me because it means that the next chapter of that epic world-scale drama of John chapter 1. The next chapter begins with an invitation for me and for you and for all the people of God to enter into that same epic story. John writes that his gospel was written so that all would believe and have life in Jesus' name. For those who have accepted that gospel, the letter of 1 John is the guide for that next chapter. You are invited. You have a part to play. But of course, this is not news to us because Jesus has already said this. The task of new creation that begins at the resurrection, it's a call for us to partner with him. That is the mission of Eastertide. What did Jesus say in our gospel reading for today? We just heard it a minute ago. Thus, it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." We are familiar, of course, with the Great Commission from Matthew's gospel. Our gospel reading from Luke this morning is Luke's version of that same command. Jesus tells his followers to preach repentance and forgiveness in his name to all nations, and that they should wait until the coming of the Holy Spirit to do so. Our reading from 1 John is evidence that mission was begun and carried out by the disciples, because John is writing to the converted, to a Christian community, giving them the same message about life in Jesus' name, and then handing that mission to them so that they may spread the gospel themselves. And this is our mission, too. You remember the image Father Jack gave us for Narnia on Easter Sunday, that as Aslan is victorious, he urges his creatures to join in with the fullness of the work that he's doing in his world. We are written in to the greatest story that could ever be. And if we are on this mission with the disciples and all of the other people of God throughout history, we need to get a couple of things clear. Just like any journey, we need to know our destination and our role. These are important things in any journey. I think back to the family road trips I would take with my family growing up. We needed to know where we were going, which was often Grandma and Grandpa Hatfield's house, somewhere in Ohio, Illinois, or Indiana, depending on what year it was. We needed to know what our expected role in the trip was. And these roles in a family of five were varied, but very important. When we were old enough, we needed to know if we were going to help to drive and when we were going to do that so that we weren't sleeping during that time. We needed to know if we were the one that was going to hold the trash bag when we stopped for fast food because the car got crowded. We would need to know if we were the one who would figure out what music we would listen to, which for us meant switching out CDs from the Discman that was plugged into the tape player. Y'all remember this? Yes? If we didn't have clarity in either of those things, in our destination or our role, that led to problems. You all probably know the chaos that ensues when there are too many people vying to select the road trip music. Now, with regard to our destination, we would know we were on the right track by seeing some of the familiar landmarks along the way. There was the Gibson Guitar Building in Nashville, usually passed very slowly in lunch rush traffic. There was the Dodge Viper hoisted atop a pole 30 feet in the air in Evansville, Indiana. You can tell these landmarks were ones I noticed as a teenage boy. Cars and guitars. But when I saw those things, even before the days of GPS, even if I wasn't doing the navigating on the map, I knew that we were going the right way, that we were in the right place. These things were familiar. It is similar if we think about our destination and our mission that is given to us by Jesus, where we are going in the story into which we have been written. That end is the new creation reality of God's kingdom. Thankfully, the signs and the attributes of this work, they've been given to us in the scriptures. And so when we see the landmarks, we know that we are on the right path. And when we see unfamiliar and contrary things, that's when we know that change is necessary. We get two such pictures, two landmarks of the Easter reality of new creations, of new creation in our readings this morning, both of them from the Old Testament. Because if you are looking, there's a lot of Easter in the Old Testament. God does not change, and his promises do not change. He is the same, faithful and true, from the times of our forefathers and mothers and the people of Israel all the way up today. Easter was always the plan. And so you will see a lot of Easter in the Old Testament. Let's look at our psalm, for example. Psalm 98. You can find the chanted version in your bulletin or the page 500 of your pew Bible. What can it tell us about this new creation reality? Verses 1 to 3, they emphasize that this work of new creation is God's own work. We do not redeem or fix the world. God does. With his own right hand, he has won the victory. He has declared his salvation. You can easily spot an imposter kingdom when someone other than God takes the credit for it. When you hear the words, "Only I can save you," and those words aren't coming from the mouth of the Lord, that is your sign that you are not in safe territory. The victory of God is then celebrated by his covenant people with praise of his name. See verses 3 to 7 of our psalm. Excuse me. The covenant people, so at the time of the psalm, the people of Israel, now all the people of the nations who follow Jesus as Lord, the covenant people celebrate his victory with music, singing, and playing harps and horns. The kingdom of new creation is marked by praise of the king. You may have heard that often attributed but dubious in origin quote of St. Francis, that Christians ought to preach the gospel at all times and when necessary to use words. And while this can be a helpful reminder that there is a temptation to leave off the deed part of proclaiming the gospel in word and deed, we cannot make the opposite error. Our psalm shows us that where the kingdom is, the king's praises are sung. The good work we do is work we do in Jesus' name. And we joyfully, joyfully say so. Notice also in this psalm how all of creation is included in God's victory. The land, the rivers, the trees, all celebrate the goodness of God. They are included in God's new creation. The kingdom isn't about leaving the world behind in search of heaven, but in awaiting the unification of heaven with God's good creation on earth. We await the world as it should be, not merely a spiritual plane that replaces it. For one last landmark, I want us to switch to our reading from the book of Micah today. Micah chapter 4, those first verses. This passage, it describes to a people facing exile what God's renewal and justice will look like, not just for them, but the whole world. Micah writes, "He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." True, just peace. True provision and prosperity, not marked by overconsumption or greed, but the true meeting of needs. These are signs of where we are headed. These are the things we work for in the here and now. These are the sort of things we celebrate, we point out, that make us say, "Look, we're on the right track. We're on our way." This passage from Micah is particularly poignant as we hear of wars and rumors of wars around the world, as we fear what might be next. We pray for the kingdom of just peace, where the vulnerable will have no reason to be afraid. May it come soon. So if that's our destination, God's new creation started at Easter, what is our role in this journey? We know the landmarks. We know where the journey ends, but what are we to do along the way? Here we return to those words from 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John takes us back to basics, using this image of light and darkness. He makes the life of a Christian sound so grandiose and yet so simple at the same time. I love the simplicity of John's language. Walk in the light of truth. Live a life of integrity. Confess our sins when we are wrong. Do not deny that we have sin. John builds his argument, if you read on in his letter, to the reiteration of Jesus' new commandment that he gives us, to love one another. So this is our role, to be agents of new creation through love, light, and truth. I began this morning talking about stories, and I want to close there too, as we reflect on our role in the unfolding story of Easter and new creation. I was reminded this week of a young filmmaker in the 1970s who was desperate to get the rights to make a full-length adaptation of the Flash Gordon shorts that had mystified him as a child. I watched a couple of these things, and they are terrible, but they had mystified this particular filmmaker. But a producer who owned the rights had other ideas, and those rights were not secured. The film didn't happen. His dreams to be a part of that story set aside. This director went on to create something on his own, a whole new galaxy of storytelling that has enchanted far more people of all ages than a simple Flash Gordon adaptation ever would have. Now, because it's me up here today, you've probably already figured out. The name of this director was George Lucas. And that if he had gotten those rights to Flash Gordon, we would have never gotten Star Wars. Thank goodness for that cantankerous producer. There was a better story out there. There was a better story. There are a lot of stories that we want to be a part of. There are a lot of stories that the world really tries hard to sell us on. The story of wealth, the story of fame, the story of comfort and ease, the story of power and control. If we had our way all the time, we'd spend so much of our lives chasing those very things. But there is a better, truer, and more beautiful story out there, not one of our own making, but one that was made for us, that we were written into. We've been invited in. Easter, the empty tomb, it means that death itself does not stand in the way of God's good news, of God's good story. We get to share it. We get to live it. King Jesus invites you to a better story. May we all rejoice and be glad as we accept his offer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.